welcome to another episode of Punch Up. Porn Up, I was going to say. Punch Up. Okay, so today I'm sitting here with two beautiful, lovely, amazing people. We're going to, before I reveal their names, we're going to talk about porn and sex work with a perspective from queer BIPOC bodies, all forms of discrimination that happen in that scene, safety, educational porn, etc. My two guests, which is one, Lina and Bishop, are both fabulous performers, artists, producers who take part in different productions but also do their own stuff. You may or may not know them from different queer alternative porn productions, and I'm super thrilled to have this conversation with you. Lina is a... Do you want to clap?
I'm clapping right now.
Me too! From the inside. My cat also just like... Oh yeah, you will hear my cat probably at some point in this production also. Lina is a porn performer based in Berlin. Her sun is Sagittarius, moon in Leo, and rising Pisces. I think those are very important information here. And then Bishop is also a porn performer based in Berlin and also works in stage and club performances, is sun in Aquarius, moon in Libra, and the rising is also Pisces. Oh my god. I'm like a rising in Libra. I don't know how this is gonna go.
Oh, and there's like connection all the way.
Yeah. I mean, we have the same moon, but your moon is also interesting. Let's see.
Well, my moon is your rising.
What's that?
My moon is your rising.
That's true. So. Yeah. That's true. And we have the same Venus also.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. But you have the same Mars, right?
My Mars is Sagittarius.
I'm a Mars in Aries, which is
the right now.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's
Mars
all like...
Mars and Aries,
but
Mars and Aries is retrograde.
It's like okay. Fire all over the place again.
Fire and air all over the place.
Yep. Okay, so... Since you both know each other quite well, I think, and you've also worked together, I was actually going to ask you to say something about yourself, but I think I want you each to describe the other person for, like, about 30 seconds. With maybe 3, 5, 10 words. Like, what comes to your mind about the other person? Whoever wants to start, go.
Well, I met Lina like way back when, basically
forever ago,
and I must say like we didn't really properly like connect until a later date when we started to work a little bit more with each other through like different companies and stuff. But I guess if I was gonna say three words to like you know describe Lina, I would say like visionary. What else? So visionary. I would say also sage, and I would say also a little airy.
Airy.
A little airy. Because like you don't really know what you're like, you know, sometimes like you know what you're thinking, and then suddenly you say something, you're like, where did that amazingness come from? Like, and you just start being like shocked face. Yes. So that's why I had to say about you.
Okay. Oh, okay. Now give me 2 seconds. I need to cry now. Okay. Yeah. Bishop said the right thing. Like, we met forever ago. And I think we connected at a point in which we actually had to be put together to work. And sometimes I really trust, like, those kind of things when things don't need to happen right away. But then when it takes time, because then you know, like, why... you have that connection with that certain person, and then that's when you like, and yeah, I don't know, you just like value, you know, the kind of connection that you have because of what it is, not because you're like supposed to, or like some like bullshit like community kind of like thing. And okay, so describing Bishop, I would say he is incredibly talented. I think he's
So that was my stomach so reactive to what you're saying.
I wish you could see the facial expressions that are happening. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. So yeah, I mean, like, incredibly talented, yes. I think also, I mean, there's something, I don't know how to say it, because if I say there is something about you that is like absolutely adorable, I don't want it to sound like superficial, because, yeah, I don't know how to say in a deeper way, you know, that you're like such a lovable person. Mm-hmm. I absolutely, like, yeah, like almost immediately, like, I mean, there is nothing not to love about you. And also, highly creative / magic person in your, I mean, in your personal life, but also with your work. Both.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's really, like, beautiful. Thank you.
You too.
Oh my god, no, I'm totally moved. They're literally holding hands in this moment. I cannot. And I think before I start my questions, I think I also, just to be transparent with you and the audience, why I specifically picked you two, because I could have picked anyone. I was interested in this topic anyway, but I think I specifically picked both of you because I like you, first of all, both. And I think also because from all the conversations that I heard from you, or I read a lot of interviews that you both did as a for my preparation for this interview, because I didn't want to like bore you with the same questions that people ask you normally. It's just because I really like the way you think. I really like the way you talk. I really like the way you carry yourself. I really like how you talk about these things and how you analyze them, and your perspective on it, actually, because it's multi-layered. It's not like a simple, okay, I do this and then this. It's more of a, I do this because, you know, I like that. I'm into it. That's why. And because you're both good looking and stuff, everything.
And now we all
yes. No, I'm keeping a professional distance, I would like to point out.
It's true. You are somewhat distant.
Thank you. I'm sitting on a different chair also. Anyway, so I'm going to start with my first question. So you both are part of this porn world for a number of years. Now, I don't know the exact numbers, but I think it's like quite some time. So racism, transphobia, intersectional perspective, perspectives are buzzwords that we hear a lot in the past years. And sometimes like there is a substance to it and sometimes there isn't. So I was going to ask you what your personal experiences are with that.
Okay, I think I like very much the bit on which you say that there's like buzzwords that we hear here and there, because that's in many cases definitely what they are. I do think that in general, like the scene that we are like part of, or like the kind of like scenes in which our like that our works touch upon, because we don't only do like alternative, quote-unquote, porn, we sometimes like dive into other areas, like more like mainstreamy or like other niches within the niche. I will say that no matter what, the scene or the scenes that we move in are quite small, so to speak. I think that the even like these alternative scenes that we are part of are, by way of being small, that also means that the kind of like that diversity, like no matter what, is no matter how much people want to push it, is still lacking in many ways. And as in any other kind of like scene, like problems of racism or of like lack of diversity, of racism, lack of diversity are very much there, lack of representation, and I think more importantly, lack of agency and access to means for doing things are a little bit, are quite a problem. If you see, even if you see like the alternative, like porn scene and so on, here in Western Europe, you can still see that it's like heavily white. You can still see that the most visible bodies are cis passing in many ways. you can still see how there are barely any to non-trans femmes
mm-hmm.
of color or black. That's and you can still see that that like the access to means of doing things are the people who have like most money and so on is still like white cis passing folks, and I think that in so many ways even if you wanted to do things for yourself, that's also this is also like a very difficult industry to do it and to kind of like be sustainable on a long-term scenario.
I completely agree with like what you're saying, especially when it comes to agency. Yeah, I mean, I've been part of the business since, well, the first film I ever did was when I was 23. I'm 35 now, but I originally also worked in, like, glamour modelling in, like, London and did a few bits in, like, you know, my, like, print material. And I think when it comes to the element of agency, I think it's actually still something that, especially, like, you know, like, someone like me who's, like, you know, black, but like, you know, male passing, like, cis male. It's still something that I have, like, you know, troubles actually trying to, like, you know, utilize in a way that's basically holds, like, a level of integrity to my work. Because, I mean, there's one hand, like, in 1 year, like, you know, I worked a whole shit ton, and it was, like, great, and it was, like, a lot of money, but then it also meant that you're being burnt out, because, like, you're making, you're, somehow there's like a switch in access to like, you know, working and it turns into like this whole situation if it's a job, which it is, but there was also like this element of fun which doesn't really like, you know, kind of translate when you're working so much because you don't have time to look after yourself, and then you also lose agency within that sort of thing as well because you're kind of just like working for something for someone else. And then, you know, when you try to regain that and you do things that are actually a bit more like close to you, there's still a lack of agency because it's still not your own work, but it's more of like, you know, an element of feeling more control, but in response that you don't have enough money as well, which is like this whole dynamic or crash point to situation. And also if you're not coming from a sphere that, for example, if you're coming from a sphere that's like, you know, more invested in working with like studios or working with production companies and stuff, you don't really have that same sort of like, you know, drive or impetus to actually have like your own content or like, you know, make your own work, then sometimes it's very difficult to kind of adjust or adapt to like, you know, that sort of thing. But when it comes back, so that's the situation of agency. That should probably just like clarify when it comes around to the situation of like, you know, race or racism. For all the time I've been involved in...
but an action.
You're like, I'm out. But...
Enough.
Yeah, there's... I mean, it's not even just in, like, you know, in the field that I'm in, but it's also within, like, you know, social medias that are revolving around, like, a personal presence and the sort of attempts to kind of, like, you know... to manifest and maintain these like personal, like, you know, these personas in this like world. But then at the same time, like, I feel like unless you have certain traits, which again goes down to like either you have to look like basically like cis white, and if you're not cis white, then you have to look like you've been going to the gym for like, you know, how long. And then you have a very, in the male case, like, you know, you have a very male look, which isn't, deviant from like, you know, the sort of like masculinity that's there. And believe me, I'm also a part of it as well because like, you know, I go to the gym, I work out, and yeah, in some ways I also kind of like fall part to that as well. But I think at the same time, it's just like this lack of visibility of other types of like, you know, bodies and other types of like expressions is like pretty much clear. If you don't seek it out, then you won't find it. So I think it's not really so much like present, and I think even back when I started, it was like basically non-existent. So like there is some progress in some sort of way, but I think at the same time it's still in such a slow sort of like pace that it's, well, it's going to take like another, what, 10 years before we actually get something that's even more like visible. Like, when do we get into the discussions of like, you know, how there's different sexualities and different various expressions of sexualities or different various expressions of gender that could be like, you know, seen within the medium that we're in, you know?
Yeah.
But you said you started 13 years ago, did I?
Yeah, correct? Well, it was, yeah.
So basically 13 years ago was like 2007.
Mm.
That was like a totally different political world also,
of
you
course,
know?
Yeah.
Nobody cared about intersectionality or like in specific circles, yes. But I'm also wondering why you both were talking, because you also said about there's like basically no trans femmes, and I think that's in every field that you look, not only porn, is like trans women are not represented in any way, BIPOC especially. And I was also wondering, like, what about other like trans people, chubby people? Is that always like a specific category of people that you have to look for? Or do you also, I don't know, in your own world when you work, do you also...
I think that, I mean, and it's good that you pointed that it's like a very like general problem. I mean, and in so many ways, I just think that porn, compared to many other industries such as like conventional film or fashion or anything like that, like porn, it's far more diverse than many other industries in terms of like visibility and stuff. Which is funny, because I think that like porn is like so like often criticized about like, or like these myths, you know, about like it's only about like thin blonde girls with big fake tits, mm-hmm. or like the
long nails,
typical match on steroids and stuff, and that's it. Whereas like it's actually the opposite. I think that like, if you pay attention, there's like far more possibilities for like being able to see more bodies. I think that in that sense, it's more like important to look about like the question of like visibility, mm-hmm. like what kind of visibility is good, mm-hmm. where and what does it does and so on. And I think in some ways there are like some projects that are like super interesting, mm-hmm. to check out and to look at, because they do have like these sort of like questions of like saying, okay, I'm putting like this body, like this kind of body that I have, that in so many ways is seen as disgusting, mm-hmm. Or that it doesn't hold like any value, or that it cannot like be sexualized in many ways, and I put it here and I love it, and this is for myself, and this is also for like people who look like me or that have like these experiences just like me. And that's really good, because then it's like a process, like, okay, it's not just for the sake of like being there and have like the get the validation of like cis white people who have nothing to do with it. It's more about like being out there and perhaps like bringing something for yourself, but also like bringing something for people who have like similar experiences as you.
Yeah.
I think sometimes just like the trick is that when you come like into, when you see like all like these vulnerabilities like being like visible, it also like depends like what kind of like agency you put there. Because what the example of agency, but there's also like the risk that if you do it for others, like the conditions in which you do it for others can also pose a little bit the risk of tokenism. Which I think, at least in my case, I can definitely say I've been the token here and there. And I think also like in like the overall like conversations about like feminist porn, ethical porn and so on, they just like praise themselves about like being so fair and inclusive and so on. And it's like just like white people in the back just like playing with the token du jour, you know? So there's always like the risk on that, and I think that in so many ways it's not like discussed enough, because that's a very delicate conversation to have if you have to pay your rent.
Yeah, for sure.
That
yeah,
way,
for sure.
So,
but that was a good, actually. Now I can. The word ethical porn is also gonna come up. Is gonna come up later. Not yet. You have time.
You have time.
So. Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking also. I'm also assuming that before getting into this world, that you had an idea or an imagination of what this could be, or what porn was, or what the industry could be like. So what do you think now? Like, what did you think then, and what do you think now? And did things turn out as you imagined, or what is different from what you imagined? Any specific disappointments or surprises? Like, what kind of myths have been debunked for you? That's like a lot of questions. Oh my God.
I mean,
they're both rubbing their eyes, kind of.
I would try to answer some of those questions.
Yeah, I can also ask them one by one.
Flashback to all the drama. Oh my God.
I don't know. When I started to get involved in the industry, I think maybe, like, the first film I did was, like, you know, something that was, like, I probably would never have done. If I had the chance to do that again, I probably would have turned around and said, nah, man, you're right. But when I joined it, I didn't really have so much, like, you know, of an idea of what it was going to be about, or whether or not I'd actually, like, you know, be someone who'd be, like, staying in the industry for that long. I think also, like, you know, part of me felt like I could be in it and, like, you know, model and be like, yeah, I'm doing this thing, I'm so amazing. And the other hand, I'm like, you have certain, like, you know, certain hang-ups or hesitations, especially when you, like, you know, get to learn more about mainstream, or you get to learn more about, like, you know, what's kind of expected within that sort of, like, format, and what I am or not able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, in time, before I even got involved, I knew there were some things I probably wasn't going to be doing on camera, which actually got debunked later on in life, which is, like, having a heterosexual scene, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, no, that's not going to happen because, like, I don't have, like, the apparatus for it. Ha, 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 ha. I guess I'll probably just do, like, anal sex the entire time because, like, I have a butt. But it's true. Like, these sort of things are kind of, like,
yeah,
determined, or, like, you always have this sort of, I have this particular type of thinking, because as someone who's, like, you know, black, like, they, all this stereotypes and, like, you know, what's about, like, what equipment you have, it's like such a fucking, it plays like, you know, toll on your mind at some point, even when you know that it's not really, that's not even, like, you know, true, this is still gonna be, like, still stuck in your mind and, like, affect the way that you kind of feel like you can operate within, like, the field. Whatever questions you have.
You answered most of them.
Okay.
I can read it again if you want to. Like, the assumptions that you had before getting into it.
Mm.
What do you think now?
Mm.
And what are disappointments, surprises, stuff like that?
I mean, I could probably just say, in terms of, like, disappointment and surprises, like, I think one thing that I probably felt was probably, like, you know, could have possibly been a slight disappointment or like surprise, was that, as what you said before, I think this idea of, like, you know, the self-styled idea, mm-hmm, of, like, we're in this together,
mm-hmm,
like, you know, this whole idea of the community aspect, and, like, being like, yeah, like, you know, we're doing this and we can, like, you know, do a community and join and, like, grow and, like, you know, have this many cool people that we know. And then at some point you realize that everybody's motivations are not really the same, mm-hmm, as yours. And this took me a while to probably, like, you know, accept. And I think it was through different people, which at first I was like, oh, okay, I don't get it. And I remember bitching to you about it as well.
I've definitely
bitched about, like, you know, this one person or this other person. And, like, I just didn't really properly understand, like, you know, how this wasn't on their sort of, like, because especially when you come into this whole alternative, like, you know, sort of industry, you kind of think that, like, everyone's kind of in it, and, like, we're like, yeah, but we're, like, you know, this dude, we're doing this really amazing thing, it's so cool, and it's so great, and it's so, like, I'm so self-righteous.
And yes.
At some point, then you realize, I don't know, it's because you get jaded, or if reality kind of hits you around the face, or, like, drama should happen, or anything else, but, like, at some point, you realize that actually, like, you really have to find a way to kind of, like, traverse this in a way that makes sense for you, and also, like, come with, like, a set of boundaries and, like, you know, things that kind of shouldn't really kind of upset those boundaries, and also, like, have a bit more of like a clear understanding of what you are able to give and what you want to be able to give, and what how you want to be, how you want to kind of interact with different people. I think definitely there was a little naivety that existed from my side as well, when like, you know, especially being in the Berlin porn scene as well, like you just have a little bit of like naivety that comes to you, and then you go to the mainstream, you go to like, you know, different places, and then at some point you kind of learn that like this whole thing between like mainstream being bad and like alternative being great is just basically a big ass myth. So
yes,
how people kind of like, you know, produce their work is also like a very big testament to how good they are, and it isn't just about like a black and white situation.
Yes, yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's precisely these things that Bishop said, like this sort of like naivety and so on, that and then how like the Berlin porn scene sometimes is just like talk about us like it was like the Disneyland of porn or something like that. I mean there's a lot of
can I pour you some water? That's the best thing I ever heard in my life. Disneyland. Okay. I will use that at some point. Okay, you should use
it. Take your tea, baby.
High school films.
Wow.
Or something.
Yeah. I mean, there are good things about Berlin, sure. But it's just like, I think that in so many ways, like, that this niche is over romanticized to an extent that it can be really harmful,
yeah.
And that makes it in a very serious way.
Yeah.
I think at the same time, I mean, for example, in my case, I had like I entered porn because once living here and once like going to the Berlin Porn Film Festival and seeing how things were made, like this like DIY dimension to things, it was like, oh my god, this is so accessible, and that showed me that oh, I can actually be part of this as well. Which was really great. That part was great, but at the same time, there is no information whatsoever about how to do it. There's like no accessible information about like what to expect, what things can you expect from it, what things you have to be careful about, and all that information. It's very much missing. And when you are there, and when you are new, and when you are eager, and when you start like receiving like a certain amount of attention and validation, you just like at least in my case, I just like went full on, and then I bothered to think about what I was doing with a little bit more detail, like, and I learned about, like, for example, like safety things, the way in which you are portrayed, work safety, industry standards, etc. I just learned all that along the way. And it wasn't always like some like nice lessons. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was like really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And something that at least you can see like from mainstream is that they're like just like bullshit free in that sense. It's like, okay, like you get in there and like take care of yourself and just like do your work and that's it, you know? So it's like in so many ways, it's like I would like to think that it's a bit more demystified.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that in the niche that we have, we could totally do it, and we could still like be like discussing like politics in our films, you know, or like figuring out how to like continue portraying whatever like political, feminist, etc. narratives, whilst being a bit like more honest about what is it what we have, what is it what we don't have, like what are the dynamics of like this so-called community, you know. And how we can actually respond when problems arise, you know, or how can we like start talking about like questions of like accountability or reparations and what to do, instead of just like thinking, oh, like this is just like such, this is like the fantasy kind of thing.
Hmm. That makes sense. Actually, while you both were talking, I was wondering a question that I didn't write down, but I was wondering, so you talked about in that process getting to know the industry and getting to know how things function, and you said, you know, sometimes good experiences, sometimes not so good experiences. I was also wondering, what is it specifically personally that you learned about your own bodies, about your own sexualities, while working with sexuality so intensively also at the same time? If, is there an answer to that? I don't even know.
I
want to know all of it.
All of it. I mean, think I'm still learning. It's an honest answer. Like there's definitely been questions about there's always questions about my sexuality. Before I came into pornography, it was like questions, more questions. Yeah. What am I actually doing? And how they're producing more questions. Yeah. But then there's also questions about my own gender that I went through as well. And I think this will perhaps be like question further, but I think there's a bit more of a certainty to that as a word, as opposed to like, you know, before. But I definitely had questions about my own gender and had questions about my own identity, which some of which have already been answered and some of which are very like fixed, but also knowing that within this fixed element there's like, you know, a lot of fluffiness around the edges. And I guess with knowing my own body, like that also comes as a part of like, you know, this like fixedness but also fluffy around the edges. So like even though at the core there's like, you know, a certainty of who I am, around the edges it's like, yeah, but you know, there's also like this element of something else that's like, you know, can be kind of directed or channeled through me. And sexuality is always going to fucking change, man. Like one day I'm just like, you know what, I'm never going to sleep with like another female presenting person ever again, and then next thing you know I'm like, you know, slept with four.
That's your Venus. Huh? That's your Venus probably.
But I think it's also that that's probably like the main thing that kind of like maybe like, you know, I learned is just stop asking questions.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you don't need to ask so many questions, and sometimes when you want to ask a question, there'll be a time for you to ask the question, but it's also how you frame that question to yourself that kind of, like, you know, brings up a particular answer that can work or may not work. Mm-hmm. But it's just the framing of the question kind of, like, it gives you the answers as to where you are with your body, and just, well, at least that's for me.
Yeah.
Like, for me, something that I do like about porn and so is, like, the way in which you get used to, like, working around sexuality, and kind of like it makes it like far more normal that it ends up like touching your like everyday life.
True.
So I think that in so many ways you get used to seeing your own sexuality, to talking about your own sexuality, to being like in some ways, even, I mean, at least in my case, to listen a little bit more, like, your body, and then just, like, face, like, normalize the ways in which you face certain parts of your own identity, your own, like, sex life, and so on. Mm. So I think that in so many ways, like, because of how, like, we see sex in general, the society, etc., you're not, like, very much, like, encouraged of doing so. So in so many ways, like, porn and I think like sex work in general like puts you in that space in which you get to see that, in which you get to know yourself, and in which you get to work with that on an everyday basis. So I got to know myself better. I got to also push myself and learn more to communicate about it, which is something like super important for me. I think I also came to terms about things about my own like sex life, about how I used to go about it in the past, and how now I understand it better and are able to manage it better and like enjoy it.
Mm.
Because sometimes it was just like the dirty shit you were like doing there, and you're just like, it was good, but then it's like, and then like now it's like the dirty shit that you keep doing, but not like you own it.
Yeah.
Talk about it with your friends. And like, yes.
This thing that I did.
Yes.
Actually, like, yeah.
Yeah, and now this is happening. You know, now you have like your dirty friends to cheer you up for whatever perverted shit you're doing. You know. So in that sense, that
those are the real kind of friends.
Yes, the real kind of friends.
Yeah, that was.
I wish you could see the facial.
Yeah, you can read into the laughter as well. and like Bishop said about like you're never like, I think you also like gain more awareness of how like your sex life is an endless journey, you know, and you're like more open to that, into like being, yeah, in the same way you evolve about like so many other aspects of your life, like sex is also another one.
Mm.
And that's exciting and that's good, and it feels good to be in touch with that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that everything is love and life, of course, because there's, of course, we all have baggage, of course, like sex will never be a 100% like safe thing.
Yeah.
But hopefully in some ways you kind of like lose a little bit like the layers of like shame around it, or have a little bit more like the space and resources to ask for help if you need to, or to get for things, or to solve it without just like giving their back to them, or without like not even understanding, or like, or not doing anything about understanding it.
Right. That makes sense. Would you like some snacks, actually? In between?
I'm actually kind of full at the moment.
Look very
some like chocolate. This is Dinker. This is whatever.
Dinker.
I'm going to wait a little bit to my stomach.
Okay, yeah, sense. No worries. I actually had a question about Corona times. I don't know. Do you want to talk about that, or should we just continue? No. Okay, let's skip
that. What is the question?
I actually think it's quite interesting because, you know, all kinds. Because I'm working as a completely different area, but I'm working as a caregiver, and we don't really have contracts. So, or in my case, I didn't really have a contract. So Corona was a really difficult, or is still a very difficult time in terms of, you know, maintaining finances and paying rent, and I was wondering if there's like, you know, because I think Corona has affected a lot of people, in depending on your status, depending on your citizenship, depending on your identity, depending on your class, and all of these things. So I was wondering, because I can probably, it's also not so easy, you know.
It's not easy for me. The more quote-unquote artistic, creative side of things. I mean, as a porn performer, director, etc., I'm a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
Before Corona times, I had no contracts, and before Corona times, I just had to bite my nails about how I'm going to make it till the end of the month. I think that's when things, like, started to happen, etc. I was all like, oh my God, like, let's see how we're going to do it, how the hustle is going to look now, and so on. And in that sense, it has changed a lot, because the nature of the work has also like changed a bit, has like been like, at least in my case, it has like pushed me a little bit more into focusing more on like OnlyFans work, on like doing more more stuff that like requires a little bit more like interaction digitally with the people who sees me. So it's like, for me, it was like more, okay, like let's now do like Skype shows and more like custom clips and stuff, and like maintaining like OnlyFans and like doing shows and stuff. And like, for someone with my background that like started more like studio and stuff, and like before Corona times, I was just like dreaming of like making films that are like more like weird and stuff, and like bullshit artistic whatever, more than like clips for the Wong. Now it's like I'm more like more in the clips for the Wong dimension, which I mean sounds, it's all right. That sounds horrible. No, I mean I enjoy it, and it's also like making me pay my rent, and it's also like connecting me with people in ways I wasn't used to, so that's like interesting. But every now and then I mourn this loss of this like, yeah, temporary loss of like capability of like being more in touch with creative things and like more pouring more explicit ideas about like politics, and just like doing, yeah, like putting some ideas there. That's a little bit. Yeah, the part that I miss the most.
That makes sense. That's exactly what I thought also.
Did I also say something?
Oh, please. Oh, no, because I wasn't sure if you really wanted to answer that. Oh, my God.
I didn't really want to answer it, to be fair. But, like, I would say one thing, though, is that, like, although I've had work during, since the lockdown's been, like, lifted, and there have been like really amazing like safety protocols that have actually happened through some of the shoots I've done, which has been really great. So there's been like at least some element of creativity with like certain projects, and also like, you know, safety measures that have been like really great.
Yeah.
At the same time, and there's been some ones that have been like, you know, a bit more exhausting or like challenging.
Yeah.
But I would say at the same time, like, working with these people has been really helpful to kind of like, you know, repower my sexuality or repower my sexual desire, because I find like actually when it comes to doing like the OnlyFans stuff, like, or my like, you know, solo content work, like I have zero interest in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's one of these things where like I'm like, yeah sure I'm gonna put up something, and I put one picture up and I'm like, that's €5 please. it's just like you know, it's not because like I'm trying to be a better form type of person, you know, like, yeah. I'm just trying to figure out like what my sexuality is like trying to tell me during this whole time, or what my sexual desire is trying to tell me at this particular time, which is like, it's not easy to kind of like, you know, create in a time that's full of so much uncertainty, so full of so much like, you know, unsettling or sort of very polarizing like things that we are seeing in like, you know, in the public media, but also in the social media, where like, as much as I hate it, like the more I'm like on my Twitter feed, the more I feel like we're kind of pinned against each other to like compete, as opposed to like, you know, produce something that's actually very interesting or very dynamic. Now I'm not trying to say that people were creating this and interesting, it's just that like I do have this sort of feeling that actually, you said this really great to me one day. It's like, you're just a fucking rebel. And it's like so fucking true. Like, I literally just can't. Like, it's just like, it's almost like I just like, you know, refuse an OnlyFans. It's like, you haven't posted in 15 days. And I'm like,
fuck off.
This is me tipping the, like, you know, a plate full of like delicious chocolates off the side of the table onto the floor, being like, I don't wanna. Yeah. But like, it's just, I think it's just like, I don't find that same sort of like, you know, feeling to want to create, because I just don't feel in that particular moment that I can create for myself or other people. Like, I don't, that's like this demand of like everything kind of still going back to trying to go back to like a normal that's not really the normal, because it's a new normal, but the new normal doesn't really know what the new normal is about. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, you're still trying to like, you know, make money, you're trying to still pay rent, you're still trying to like, you know, do this. So it becomes like, you know, after a while, you basically like inhabit that, or like you kind of absorb that. And then sometimes when I have the shoots, like I had some really great shoots in the last like month, and it's been fucking fantastic. And like, you know, it's really helped kind of remind me about that sort of thing. Or I've had great performances where like, you know, it reminded me like, you know, what my particular skill is, and performances actually like come forth actually a lot more in the last month or two. It's like it's just shown itself a lot more, and it's given me a lot more like, you know, it's given me a lease of life basically, which is something. But I mean, yeah, on the flip side of the whole porn thing, it's difficult to kind of navigate how to kind of like go forward and still be good to yourself, basically, I think is more important than true to yourself, yes, but definitely good to yourself too.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's also like a very much like difficult question, because things have never been easy.
Exactly.
Things, I mean, like porn wars have never been easy, have been like full of uncertainty, full of problems, full of like scarcity of work. That, I mean, that was like our reality already. And now like this like new layer that is like affecting, I mean, like affect you, that affects other people that you see. And so it's like, things are getting worse. Yeah. And there's no hope. And it's like, and I think that in one way or another, like kind of like brings certain hopes, but also like brings like new, an extra layer of like anxiety for everyone. And I think that just like all in all, like sometimes I just like miss seeing people doing things, that for sure.
Those basically people who are working in precarious situations are even more precarious, right? That's basically the situation. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, no, and it's like precarious, but I think it's more the uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we talk like precariousness, I mean, it's you just like figure out because you were like already used to figuring out things. Mm.
This is true, actually. Yeah, this
so,
one survival
to the, so then you just like shift survival mm-hmm. mode, and hopefully,
yeah,
it works.
Yeah,
but I think it's the uncertainty. Mm. It's. I think it's the more tricky one.
Mm-hmm.
And also how that affects you mentally as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, mental states definitely are like...
Definitely.
I think that's also what I probably was trying to also kind of bring across as well. How much of it affects you mentally and mm-hmm. how that at some point does have a knock-on effect at some point.
Mm-hmm.
At some point.
mm-hmm.
At some point.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, but at the same time, it's like this knock-on effect does come about and then you're like, okay, well, how... How does one move forward and how does one, like, you know, find sort of capabilities? And sometimes you do move into survival mode, especially if you're somebody who works in, like, you know, a field that's, like, your livelihood depends on you going into survival mode to like, you know, to cope and to manage and to be able to, like, you know, feed yourself and look after yourself.
Okay.
Yep.
For sure.
Mm.
Makes sense. I'm like, oh my god. Everything I hear is like making my brain explode. Love it. Do you want to take a break or anything? Are you good? I don't really have. I think it's been like almost an hour.
How'd you feel?
Pee break, breathing.
Pee, yeah.
Cool.
But I feel like good otherwise.
Yeah. How's your pain?
It's gone.
Nice.
Yeah. And yeah, this conversation is giving me life anyway.
Nice. I took your jacket and put it in the hallway in case you were looking for that.
No.
No. Okay.
I don't know where it was actually, but yeah.
How are you feeling?
Good. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Okay. I was a bit nervous. I'm always nervous.
Same, though.
Yeah. It's always like, yeah. But I thought, you know, it's going to be you and Lena, so I'm like, probably going to be okay. But I always have, like, I don't know, questions running in my mind, and I want to ask, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, like, ever, not only with you two, but...
Because
mm-hmm. I've been in interview situations where the person interviewing doesn't really care about the other person or doesn't really think what questions do to people also. So I think it's really important for me that people feel comfortable. If there's anything that you don't want to answer, just say it. It's totally fine. I don't care. Yeah. I just want people to feel comfortable. This couch is a little bit weird. I know. I'm going to work on this. I think I'm going to do like a... what is it called? Like Kleber?
Mm.
I think that's probably what's going to...
Probably. There's already Kleber on here.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It's just like I'm sitting and like...
I know. If you weigh like more than 50 kilos, it's horrible. Because when I sit on it, you should see it's horrible. And I think that's... I just got it because my other one broke.
Oh.
I had another couch. Was also lit up on him. Anyway.
Oh, it's my phone is on silent. I guess.
Oh my. Okay, this will cut out.
Mm-hmm.
How is his life? He's like, don't ask.
Up and down and round and round.
Yeah.
Basically.
Usual or? More than
there's like a few like, you know, subpopular snacks that have happened.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but it's fine. Like I'll figure it out, like, yeah.
These are A's, right?
Nine. They are hearts.
They're hearts? I thought
they did not hearts.
Yes, they are dinkle heads him.
No, but nine. This literally says ah.
No.
Look.
I can bring the package. Fuck you. It's hearts.
It's hearts.
Nine. It's hearts.
It's hearts.
It's
okay.
Dinkle heads him.
Oh.
Mean people. It's hard. No exam is obviously hard.
One out of like.
Why does the packaging? Yeah, if you do it. Oh my god. Are you done?
Wait. I'm just gonna like get a bit closer for that.
Oh my god, you're awful. Look at this. It's a heart. How can you not see that, you heartless people?
Oh my god.
Is that really a heart?
Yes.
It looks like.
Oh my god, I'm gonna bring the packaging.
Why would you have a hole in the heart then?
Yeah.
Maybe that's
for Deutsche. Look!
Look! Dinkelherzchen!
Oh.
They fooled me!
All over?
Oh my god, you both are not romantic. Don't touch me.
So this Aquarius coming out.
What the fuck? Can I put my legs up like this?
They're nice though.
Huh?
They're nice though.
Whatever. I will not eat them anymore.
So, I'm trying to see the heart.
I saw what you did.
No.
You put the blueberry in the raspberry. Do you know that that's called the raspberry? The blueberry fits perfectly into the raspberry.
No, but I put the chocolate inside.
Oh no,
the
but if you look, if you put a blueberry, it fits perfectly. Mm. Oh no, now it's squished.
You squished it.
I'm bored now, we can stop.
I wish we recorded that part.
Everything is recording.
Oh, oh my god. Great. This is a great outtake.
Everything. Yeah, the whole app conversation is in it.
Oh my god.
Everybody feeling good?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I will not put the fucking Dinkelherzchen conversation into this. With the ultimate lesbian.
Oh, you broke your Dinkelherzchen.
Ah, whatever. Unbelievable. It's obviously a heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, I can see how you see an A.
See?
Thank you. That's all we wanted to see.
Whatever.
I mean, I can't see a heart, but like, you know.
Anyway.
I'm glad you can see an A.
This episode is cancelled. Not publishing.
You are cancelled.
I'm done. Foreign scan. Everything is cancelled.
Oh, God.
Okay, so let's continue with my fourth question. We have six more to go.
Wait, that was 44 questions?
Yeah.
Wow,
we've been talking for a long time, what can I do?
Right,
cool. But I'm going to select. I'm not going to do all of them, I think.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about sex school. So young people are exposed to all kinds of sexual content online, be it like music videos, movies, and also porn, obviously. So sometimes the content is okay, but most of the time it's not. Sometimes it's even like dangerous because, you know, it's like all kinds of stuff that we see. Sometimes it's super inaccurate. Sometimes it's even abusive. So you're both part of sex school, which I personally think is a great idea. I really do. So please tell our listeners what sex school specifically is and what the goal of this project is. So I think you're both working in it.
Yeah.
Why are you holding your mouth?
So
oh, okay. I thought I said something wrong.
You were doing the question and all the time I was just saying like...
I was like, you're
very impolite. Yeah, we're both working in sex school. I got approached by, I think, Poppy or Anorena. As to be like, you know, one of the educators on the show, and yeah, I think it's a really amazing idea that definitely, like, you know, needs a lot more visibility so we can create more work, because I think, like, you know, there's been really cool starting blocks for like the series, and I think it'd be really lovely to see how far we can kind of like, you know, go into different elements of like, because what was really interesting as well was that we weren't just talking specifically about sex, like, you know, the act of sex in a sort of like way that is predominantly like, you know, scientific and boring and cis normative,
yeah.
But we also went to different elements of like, you know, social sexual situations,
mm-hmm. Like hookup.
Yeah,
that was really nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Watched.
And threesomes as well.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, there's the kissing thing as well, which mm-hmm. was like fucking fun to do. So, like, I really like the fact that there is always this attempt to look into different like ways of expressing desire and looking into like breaking down these points before getting to like this one thing that everything seems to be very much revolved upon. And I feel like within like certain countries and stuff, there's still a lack of good sex education.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, as more and more people look, or more and more kids look towards, like, you know, pornography as an answer, there definitely needs to be, like, you know, ways of trying to keep kids, like, invested in something that actually kind of breaks things down into more of, like, an understandable thing, like, simplifying it to, like, more of, like, okay, this is what's going on, as opposed to being, like, so, this is anal.
Yeah.
It's like, my ass isn't even warmed up yet.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So I really value, like, you know, the presence of sex school, and hopefully we can, like, move on to, like, our second season.
Nice.
Yeah, I think, like, sex school is it's a very nice platform that very much, like, puts the bridge between, like, pornography and sex education. And at the same time, it's a platform that doesn't shy away from highlighting the value and the potential role of sex workers as educators. I think that's also what I like about sex school, is that it's also, like, a platform that makes things, like, more accessible. It's not like it's kind of, like, manual about, like, how to do things, because at the end of the day, like, bodies can be, like, really different, can react, like, very differently and so on. But it makes things a little bit more, like, accessible, makes you, like, have fun with it, and also, like, makes you understand the performative dimension of sex, you know? Because I do think that, like, these days, like, everyone talks about, like, oh, like, real sex versus performative sex, which is bullshit. I hate whenever people talk about, oh, but this is real sex and this is performative in, like, this so-called, like, sex positive blogs and stuff. I say, oh my god, it's like, no, I mean, that's horrible. No, it's like, oh god,
we know what you mean.
Yeah, let's delete that. Oh, yeah,
love it.
It's like, I mean, like, all sex is performance, you know. Yeah. So you just have to, I think the more that you understand that, the more you come to terms to what is good for you, or the more you come to terms to what kind of space you want to take within, like, your own sexuality and within, like, how you interact with other people. And yeah, I think that's about sex school. I just wish that the platform, like, takes off properly. Mm-hmm. There's, like, a lot of, like, production value put on it. Meaning that the films that we do, the crew that's, like, called into it, the vision, how to produce it, etc. It's, like, a good bunch of work and a good bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not cheap to do it.
How is it funded?
It's funded by a private investor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, like, this person who wants to remain anonymous, who just, like, wanted to see, like, something like that out there, but who's not, like, connected to the industry a lot. So then, like, this person got in touch with Anarela, and between her and Poppy Sanchez, they got, like, together, and, like, they said, oh, I'm, like, this could look like this and that, and that's how it all started, basically.
Nice.
And then we were, like, called into, like, the so-called, like, core team of performers,
mm-hmm.
Bishop, Sadie Loon, and back then Parker Marks, and me. And then we have, like, also, like, guests for certain topics and so on. And the idea is to continue doing that and just, like, move, like, other topics, you know, anal sex is the one that is coming, and then we're talking about, like, what else? Yeah, like, some more other topics coming up.
Nice. If you're interested as a viewer,
mm-hmm.
I had I discovered it actually by accident somehow, and then I was watching it. At first I didn't know. No, you didn't tell me. Is that what you were looking
for?
No. Okay, I thought, okay.
Tell me more.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was talking to a friend about something, and then I think they gave me their login information for, what's this page called?
Pink Label.
Exactly. Yes, because I was looking for things, and then And then I kind of saw it, and I was like, interesting, like, what is this? And then, because I'm a nerd also, so I was like, interesting. Mm. And then I watched it, and I was like, oh my god, I love it. I saw the episode, the hookup episode was the first one that I saw. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, first of all, I'm not a film person at all, but just this is my own perspective. I was like, this is really well done. I was like, this is funny. I love the editing. It's super informative. I really like the... I don't know, like, this is how a hookup can go, this is what you can say, and if this happens, you can do this, and then this, and this, and this. It was really, like, it actually gave me some ideas of how to communicate with people. I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was super fun, and also hot at the same time. It was really nice. Well, I mean, you did a great, good job. Love it.
Thank you very much. The microphone was amazing as well.
It was like super aesthetically beautiful, funny, which I really like. I really enjoyed it. I really liked it, and I saw some other episodes also. So I'm really curious about new ones.
Austin? Yeah, I really can't wait to start shooting again.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Okay, but now we're going to go from sex school to a very different topic. I mean, it's not a super different topic. Are you curious? So the next topic is more going to be about, like, unethical porn. Or, like, so we all agree that, you know, porn that is not ethical... Is unethical a word, actually, in English? Yes.
Unethical, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And we all agree that it's not okay. But what do you think about so-called ethical porn? How ethical is that from your perspectives? And another question that I have is, how can viewers like me who watch porn make sure that the porn that I watch is as ethical as possible? Because Lena, in an interview that you gave, you made an interesting comparison, or you said something about, you know, just because H&M and Starbucks sell fair trade coffee or clothes doesn't mean that the company is ethical or that everything around it is ethical. So I'm wondering, like, what do you think about this so-called ethical porn, and how can viewers like me make sure that we consume porn that is actually ethical, if that's possible? You
know? Well, I think, first of all, like, ethical porn as a genre doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, ethics is like a set of, like, values and practices that you put into work with the hope that everything works out and everyone, like, gets, like, treated, like, fairly and transparently. And if that doesn't happen, then you have to have, like, the mechanisms to be able to sort any problems, disputes, and compensate whoever needs to get, like, compensated. I think that ethics, like, as such, like, ethical porn doesn't exist. Like, what exists is, like, ethics in pornography or not. And that, and those don't depend at all on the fantasy that the film is depicting. Like, you can see a very, you can see a mainstream film that it's, like, produced ethically,
mm-hmm.
or you can see, like, the self-proclaimed feminist porn masterpiece, mm-hmm. that it's where conditions can be not ethical, mm-hmm. behind the scenes. So I think that's super important to take into account, because I do think that this sort of label of, like, ethical porn is kind of like this sort of, like, feel good kind of buzzword that in so many ways kind of, like, it's weaponized as a way of, like, washing away any sort of, like, inherent guilt in consuming pornography, because, of course, like, this whole, like, stigma, people just do not, perhaps queer folks do that more often, definitely, but in, like, other, like, more, like, hetero people and so on, they just do not go and open admittedly, like, they just go and they just don't admit that they watch porn or something like that. So in so many ways, if you say, ah, but this is feminist, ah, but this is ethical, and so on, it's like, oh, so this is, like, the kind of, like, good porn, you know, that you're a little bit, like, less ashamed of, like, admitting that you watch. Or that it's, like, the good stuff, you know, because the other stuff, it's, like, bad or whatever. So, I think that's in whatever budget you have, whatever kind of production you have, whatever means in which you are doing a film, whether it is like DIY, you and your mate doing it, or whether it is like a proper studio, I think that there is always like a set of like ethics that you can put into work. I do think that transparency is also super important, and in terms of like consumers and stuff, there is no way for just like knowing right away whether a film was like done ethically or not, because there are like companies that say, oh, our films are ethical and so on, but it is like the company itself mm-hmm. telling you, it's like the director or the CEO of the company saying you, it's like saying like suddenly Amazon like decides mm-hmm. like, oh, like now we're ethical, and it's like the Jeff Bezos whatever telling that, are you going to believe that?
Mm-hmm.
No. So it's the same story with like films that are companies, you know, like they claim that they're doing these things, but okay, like unless you actually hear the people who have the most stake in a production in a porn film, which is like the performer saying, okay, like this was on this and that, I think that that's the way in which you can have an idea of how a company works. And I think it's more important to know like how a company works and what they do and they don't, yeah. as opposed to just like thinking, oh, this is ethical, this is unethical, because it's like a dichotomy.
Mm.
And because like ethical doesn't mean to be like morally perfect, everything's got to be pristine, 100% safe space. That's not the case. Like problems will happen. And then it's about how you face that, how you solve that, how, what accountability you're going to provide, how, what kind of reparations are going to take place, you know, how are you going to do better? And I think that with ethical porn and so on, it's a little bit more like what they say. And in terms of like for viewers, unfortunately, because like conversations around porn are very much like shut down on like internet forums, etc., it's a little bit difficult to know, and unfortunately it's a little bit of like detective work. But at the same time, as a consumer, it's like also like important not just to be like spoon-fed things about ethics or not. I mean, it's also important just to do your research and to know very well why, what are you watching, why are you watching it, what dynamics are in place, you know, what are you contributing to, etc., etc., because if we're talking about ethical consumers, you can talk about like many different aspects of like ethical consumption, like economic, what kind of like narratives mm-hmm. are you consuming as a viewer? Mm-hmm. Who are you paying for your porn? Like, who are you like, who are you supporting also as like directors, performers, etc.? So that's like a complicated thing. But I do think that the more consumers like do their homework and do their own research and understand that this is like a complex issue, the more towards like ethics they're gonna be, I think.
That makes sense. I wish you could see the face.
I mean, I don't really have like a lot to say in the matter, I guess. In fact, it's probably something I think you kind of hit a lot of like nails on the head there. I think personally, like for me,
no rush to answer.
That's good.
Not at all. Not in any way. It's also a difficult question, you know?
Well, I mean, like, it is. I guess in some ways, like, it's like you said, this whole, like, ethical porn being, like, a buzzword and shit, like, and also probably the way that, like, you know, we perceive ethical porn now as opposed to like, or some people perceive, or maybe us, how we perceive ethical porn right now, like, you know, as opposed to like, again, when a time long ago when like, you know, it was just sort of like glittery buzzword of things, or like glittery sparkly word that you're like, this is fantastic, this mm-hmm. makes like a whole lot of sense, and it's totally great. And like, and then actually when the images that came up when you're talking about like, you know, this hypothetical poem was like, how I think there was a conversation about how, like, I think it was somewhere from a fellow porn worker based in the States, how, like, ethical porn just doesn't have that same... Like, what happens when you're somebody who likes to see something that isn't seen as something, let's say, that comes from, like, a mainstream thing, but in a way that's, like, you know, ethical? Like, mm-hmm. how... If you want to like see like, you know, a really hot and sexy but really consensual and all like, you know, boundaries have been negotiated, all like mm-hmm. consent has been like, you know, given, you just want to see like a hardcore fucking like, you know, gangbang, mm-hmm. you know, like. And I think at the time there was like this sort of thing was probably steered away from because like, you know, perhaps there was this element of feeling that this was too entrenched in like something that was very from a mainstream perspective and also from like perhaps like, you know, a definite patriarchal perspective as well. And I think one of the things that like, you know, I think needs to be seen within ethical porn is probably definitely, or like when it comes to like, you know, definitely researching ethical porn, it's exactly what you said, Lina, about like, you know, researching like how everyone's definitely been like treated on set and like, you know, what the production values, how people are being paid. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously you can't do that specifically because I guess like, you know, that's a little bit more complicated, but like, you know, making sure that like, you know, diet, everyone is like, you know, at least involved, or like think of it where a company is, you know, because mm-hmm. like a lot of companies want to like create. I think there's like such a big impetus of people who want to create or want to host or want to share and like want to call themselves like, you know, ethical porn companies, but at the same time like have zero actual like, you know, experience within the industry, let alone as any actual like, you know, experience as a performer. So you don't know how it is to be a performer, and you want to actually like, you know, be in the scene, but you have zero idea of how it works and zero idea how it feels like to be a performer on that side. And I think, you know, there are definitely certain companies that have this idea of being like, we are this, but mm-hmm. we have no idea what you're going through, no idea what you experience, no idea how you handle things, no idea like, you know, how you feel when you get off.
Exactly.
And similarly to like, you know, to BDSM practice, I think like, you know, I think of BDSM practice because like there's always like, you know, a level, there's always steps. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make a really good like BDSM situation, there's always steps that you have to like, you know, undertake. And there's always like, you know, the concerns of the person who's being like, you mm-hmm. know, played with, as well as like the person who's playing mm-hmm. as well. And like, there's always these steps that always like results at the end with aftercare, which continues mm-hmm. after like, you know, after you leave the set. So aftercare is like, you know, a very vital, important thing that I think definitely should be attributed towards like, you know, a lot of ethical porn things. Like, what's the aftercare situation? How are they doing? Mm-hmm. I guess like, sometimes you can do certain searches for that, but these are the things I just would just rambling off just to kind of like, you know, figure out like what I would be looking for, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think also, like things like OnlyFans, I guess, have also helped, and like these content share pages have also kind of helped as well. Because like when you give the agency back to the performer, then there's like, you know, mm-hmm. definitely like a lot more freedom to like be able to like, you know, make something that you feel, well, hopefully is ethical enough and, mm-hmm. you know, looks after your fellow performers. I think like there are definitely like people who like, you know, obviously misuse like, you know, platforms like this as well. So it's always just like being well versed about who you follow or like who you want to like, you know, look up, and not just like, oh, this is a pretty hot person mm-hmm. and therefore I'm going to like, you know, overlook the fact that they did this one thing in the scene which was actually not great.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I can say about it.
It makes sense.
Yeah. I would just like to add that the danger of like falling for ethical porn as just like this like one thing, one buzzword, and just like believing that everything is gonna be fine, is the fact that essentially working with sex, essentially working with explicit sexuality, it's a very delicate and it's a very, very difficult thing to do. And if you just like think that like ethical and that's it, you like also contribute to overlooking the fact that working with sex and explicit sexuality, it's very difficult, it's very complex, not everyone can do it, and not everyone has the best intentions on it. So that's, if you just like go for the buzzword, then you completely forget about like how, what it takes, you know. And on top of that, like, ethics happen on different dimensions. It's like questions of like safety, it's questions of consent, it's questions of like economic dynamics, it's questions of like, oh, what's ethics in a studio kind of environment, but what's ethics in a DIY environment, and so on. So it's like there's like a whole spectrum of ethics and so many things that cool that can go wrong, and so many things to take care of, that just like saying my porn is ethical cannot really guarantee.
But also, like you said, like things can go wrong, and sometimes they do go wrong.
Then what do you do?
Exactly. Yeah.
How do you?
This is important as well, because like there have been things that have definitely gone wrong, and then what happens after that? What are your actions, and how do you kind of like, you know, make sure that like it's been kind of like, you know, accounted for, or not if just accounted for, but just like definitely like seeing, or like, okay, I understand this went wrong, I'm sorry, like how are you doing, what can I do to like, you know, help, is there anything you need, is there anything like these sort of things come into play. This is also like the element of the aftercare as well. When there's something should go wrong, then you have the aftercare to like, you know, fall back upon and basically like uphold. Like,
it needs like continuity, right? Yes. Not only asking once, but also asking a couple of weeks after, or I don't know.
And I think this is also something that people don't really, especially if you're like a studio, like, you know, you don't look to like, you know, doing this, like, especially like you said, like after a certain amount of time, like, the next day it's like, okay, you write an email, you send it, and it's like, done. And then please fill out a survey or something, and then it's like, okay, cool, done. But like, if you think, you know, sometimes like I've been in, I've had like, experience, so I think like, you know, I know how to look after myself because I have the experience of actually doing it without this sort of thing that used to be there, like is there now. Like this sort of framework is still comparatively new compared to like, you know, when I was in there. So like I have my own ways of doing things, and sometimes like, you know, it may not be the way that other people want to deal with it, but like, it's the way that I deal with it because it's the way that I handle it. Like, you're gonna have bad times, you're gonna have like times with it which are a bit like they test you. You should definitely like, you know, make sure that the company also like, you know, looks after you in a certain way. Also, if you want to say something, you should definitely say something. And I also agree that not everybody is like destined to work within pornography, and not everybody is like, you know, destined to have like a career in pornography. You should even say it may just be a one, and please, no pun intended, one hit wonder. But I mean, like, you know, sometimes we kind of like try it, and then if we like it, then we may try to push it forward, but it's no guarantee that you're going to have a career. Like, sometimes certain things happen, and yeah, sometimes you have some like a bad sort of scheme or angle, like sometimes you're tokenized, and sometimes you have to like, you know, work out how you feel about that, and how you can work with that, if you want to work with that, or if you don't want to work with that. There's like all these like it's a precarious situation, and it definitely takes a lot of like, you know, skill to try to like traverse it in a way that makes sense to you, and also like doesn't burn out your soul.
Yes.
I will definitely connect to what you said in my last question, but I'm gonna keep that in mind. There's something that I want to ask. Also, I think sometimes it feels like everybody is talking about sex, and it's everywhere. It's like everything is sexualized. It's like sex sells and whatever. But at the same time, it's such a taboo. You know, also what you were talking about sex school is like, sex is so present for youth and kids, but at the same time, actually not really. So I think, I wonder, how do you think we should talk? Like, why do you think it's important to talk about sex from a feminist and queer perspective? And how do you think we should talk to kids and youth about sex? Okay. Take your time.
On the kids and youth aspect, I think it definitely does need to...
Because why I'm asking this is, for example, when I went to school, which is a long time ago, we didn't really have sexual education in school. We had it one time in third grade for like a week, and that was it. That's all we learned about sex was like there's heterosexuality, there's vaginal sex, there's penetration, there's condoms, you use them, and then everything is going to be okay. At some point, you'll get pregnant. That's what we learned.
Fuck,
wow. This is like 90s Germany, West Germany. You know, then when I look at sex school, I'm like, oh my god, there's like so many details. If I would show this to my teenage sister, who's not a teenager, but I think she would be very interested in that. Because it's very detailed.
It's also questions about like being in touch, like with your own body. It's also questions about like confidence and so... Yeah. So I think that there's like definitely many ways in which you can like talk to kids and young people about sex and sexuality in a language that it's like accessible to them, that it also gives them tools to protect themselves against potential risks that you can have at that age.
Yeah.
Because you have like certain risks when you are a kid, like certain risks when you are a teenager, and then like in adult life, it's like also like different, you know, but I do think there's also like many ways, and it's just like a question of like, unfortunately, it's just like a question of like stigma that doesn't let us like go deep into that. And definitely talking about like these sorts of conversations do not have to depend on the family environment. They definitely need to be like outside of like even like formal education environments, because that's then comes like a question of like access and stuff. There needs to be like other sources in which you can like access overall conversations about sex and overall like questions of like education. If you see like kids and teenagers going like so often to the internet or like being so exposed to internet sources from like tubes, etc., you can definitely have like count on like those sort of like communication tools to be able to also provide sources for people who cannot have like who are unfortunately on a shitty family environment or like shitty education, you know.
Sure.
And then yeah,
it has to be something that's more accessible and easy to find, and kids absolutely understand everything from a quite... I also feel the same way. I was also very sexual from a very young age, and also sometimes, you know, when sexual abuse is also happening, I think you are thrown into that without your own consent, but you're in it, you know. And I think, as you said, kids... I also remember very, very young, early on, I was thinking about it or experiencing things. Absolutely, kids are fucking sponges and see and feel and hear everything.
I think there's an age appropriate dimension.
Exactly, that's important. But how you talk, there's a really interesting project also in the States happening from Ignacio Rivera, who's very dedicated to a project that is committed to ending childhood sexual abuse. And they are also doing a lot of like educational work around how to talk to kids about sex and abuse and all these things. I think it's very interesting also, and also from a survivor perspective.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, from this like really deep topic to a little bit different question again. I should think about the order of my questions. I was also wondering what's something important that you have not done yet, but that you would love to do. Is there anything, or do you feel like you've done everything that you ever wanted to do?
In terms of like porn and stuff, I mean, definitely, I do. I mean, I always jump between like excitement about like all the many things that could like happen, you know, and then of course like, it's like super difficult, but I definitely would like to have like more films of my own. In terms of, I do think that at least like in my case, like questions of like studio work and so on, I think that the possibilities in that regard are like more and more scarce. And in some ways, I do feel that I'm very, like, every day I'm like more close to the time in which I will be the most, the happiest when I get to do like things like on my own, mm-hmm. or when I get to be like in like collaborative projects in which I have like with people, with like-minded people, mm-hmm. or in which is more like this sort of like, yeah, we're doing like this together, or in which you can see more of your own like agency mm-hmm. there. I think it's more about, it's definitely about films, mm-hmm. about like just like creating more work, like films, perhaps photography and so, but it's definitely filming and being more in charge of what like stories you're telling, mm-hmm. and how are you showing yourself. I mean, like, the narratives could be like very like different, I mm-hmm. think. I think for me the more important, it's like this part of like, okay, like grasping your own like agency and stuff.
I don't really have anything that I want to kind of like, you know, if I'm not being so used, like, you know what I haven't done yet?
Yeah.
So I think it's just more like, if something comes that I'm like interested in, then I would like research it, or like, you know, kind of be drawn to it, and it's great. But otherwise, I'm not really like, I don't have like a little list.
And that makes it more exciting, because I think it's sometimes just like possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm sticking. That's what I was like saying also in my answer, like quite like all like general. It's not about like, oh my god, I want to do like this kinky film, like doing this fantasy or like this sort of like I think it's more. And that's also like the exciting part of it. It's like, oh my god, you don't know like what could you end up doing, with whom, because it also like depends a lot with whom are you working, mm-hmm. as well, because I think the people you work with also bring you like very interesting energy, you know. And
this is so true.
Yeah.
This is so true.
Hashtag Sagittarius answer.
Yeah.
No plan, whatever comes, could be interesting.
It's just a sort of thing, though. Like, it's very much like, it's not about, like, you know, for me, it's not about, like, looking to what else I want to, like, because I think that's also somewhat, that sort of, like, you know, conquering attitude is probably not really the most comfortable for me to wear. Like, I've just conquered this thing.
Yeah,
my own, like, you know, self-porn cannoli or something. No, I digress. But, you know, it's like, it just feels a lot for me, just like, I'm in the same way. It's like, you know, Lena, I just really prefer just to kind of just see what happens, because there's been many times I'm like, okay, we're going to do, or like, I did a shoot, like, the last week, which was like, okay, we can do this, and this, like, you know, I would be, like, topped, or, like, mm-hmm. I'd be, like, this BDSM thing, and maybe that's a little electric toy thing to use, and I was like, I'm scared, but I'm also interested, and then it didn't go that way, because, like, you know, suddenly we had a different, like, feeling, and then we went with that feeling instead, and then it was, like, super fun, and the other way would have been still super fun, but, like, you know, I don't know this comes up to the whole situation of actually, like, you know, the energies that you have from different people, and like, you know, you can't be like going to a set with like a preconceived idea, and why it's always great to, like, you know, have these discussions beforehand, and also be able to know that you can change your decision throughout the piece if you feel like it's not gonna work for you, because there's something really worse than just being like bored on set whilst waiting to just get the scene done, or not really feeling comfortable, and whilst like someone's doing something to you, you're just like, okay, I'm just going to just get through this, because like at the end of this, there's a little bank check waiting. But you know, those like situations I've been in, and it's like, well, it's not fun. It's also like, you know, it happens. But I think, like, you know, I also would want to be able to have that freedom, being like, okay, well, actually, let's flip it, and still be fine with it being flipped in a way. And then I think this also comes to the point of like, I don't really care what happens. I don't really invest in what happens on the before the thing happens, because then I'm like, okay, well, something could change, you know? Or like, maybe I'm not able to do something, and maybe things need to kind of switch around and how we kind of work around that. So the expectations, I think, kind of like, you know, if the expectations are sometimes too high, then that also like, you know, puts a little bit of a unreal perception onto like, you know, my body, and then it's like, oh, I really want to do this, I'm not going to do this one thing, and
yeah,
never mind.
I think that on top of that, also like whatever it is that we do or we don't do will always be marked by this like perennial uncertainty about like the industry, about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's the next way in which you're going to be censored, you know. So it's also like, this is a line of work, I mean, like sex work in general is such like a line of work in which you have everything but fucking like certainty about things, about what, in which ways you will be able to continue working or not. So it's also like very difficult to, I mean, not impossible, but it's also like very difficult to say, okay, yeah, you have like everything, you have like all the conditions, just put the work in. It's like, no, bitch. Tomorrow you could be wiped away from the internet, and that's it. So yeah, sometimes I guess that also like gets a lot in the way of like making plans or like being like consistent with your ambitions, or like sometimes that can also be like a very dragging energy. Like, this is a line of work in which you can think everything, but everything is possible. That's the only thing you cannot really count on, because I mean, if everything is possible, it's just bad shit, not like the good stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so I'm gonna skip the question about the favorite things that you've ever done. The favorite things you've ever done.
The favorite? Oh no, my God, no! Please, let's bring some hope into this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wait, I have to pee first, and then I'm gonna ask you about the favorite things that you've ever done during a shoot and something that made you laugh. But I heard you laugh a lot, so that's probably like a thing. Okay. Okay. Wait. I'm gonna get water. I'm gonna pee.
Can you also get me a glass, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Water.
I'm gonna Instagram you.
You're gonna Instagram me. Doing what?
But this is a deja vu. I feel like this is deja vu or something.
This is deja vu?
Yeah.
Been here before?
Yes. Alright, no. Right, my phone doesn't have it. Actually done. I need a new phone. I need a new phone.
You need a new phone? What? Do you know this place, refurb.com?
What?
There's this place called refurb.com. You buy refurbished stuff. I mean, like used, but like in super pristine condition.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Okay. To shoot in Friday afternoon, Saturday morning. Yeah.
What's up?
No, just like reading the message for you.
Before I forget, this is olive oil for both of you from Crete, and it's homemade.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could pay you, but this is my... Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to have like a break, or you could?
Oh, I'm
It tastes fucking amazing. I cooked with it. It's so fucking good. I would use it for salad, actually, I think. It's fucking amazing. Mm. It's fresh.
It's also fruity, though.
Yeah. It's, wow. It's super it. Nice. It's super nice.
Oh, God.
I'm
just going to pour this on my body now.
It's probably good for that, also. Just do it here. Just now.
I mean, I need, like, something down for the ground. Otherwise, you're like...
You can do it in my bed.
That face. You do it like, kind of like... I need someone to do my back though.
Maybe sometime. Make an appointment. I give good massages.
Cool, thank you.
Seriously?
It's yeah, an offer. That's cool, man.
It's an offer.
Oh my god. Thank you. I'm shy. That. Stop it.
What?
Bishop getting shy.
I know.
I'm not getting I'm shy. I totally love a massage.
Oh my god. Okay, we have 4 more questions and then we're good.
Yes.
Okay.
Alright.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Finish.
Yeah, sorry.
Did I pour you water? No.
It's the way you fix it, Doctor. Don't that now.
Yeah. Okay. So.
So.
My dear friends. Most favorite thing you've ever done? Any embarrassing moments? Something that made you laugh? Be honest. Give us the tea.
Most favorite thing? I mean, there's not a single most favorite thing. No. I mean, there's like a number of films that are having like really good experiences and so on. And I don't think I can definitely name just one. I think I can actually, like, I always like to mix like favorite things and also like favorite people or like great people with whom I have worked, because sometimes it can be both things, and it has also been the case that you have like really good people like you love to work with, and sometimes like the project you work in it's not as good as the potential. Mm-hmm. So let's just say, for example, one of my most favorite works that I have been has not been released yet. It's like this horror. Yeah, it's horror porn that I did with directed by Maxis Grace.
Nice.
And I did it along with C. Royale. They are a super fun, super creative performer that I always had lots of fun working with. And every time that I work with them, I know it's going to be like interesting and in some super like unusual in some way. So it's always like amazing to work with them. And Max is a very super talented director. So that time it was like really amazing to work together. And it was also shot by Lainey Bird, who is like a super, super talented fetish photographer and videographer based in New York. Nice. So
is that
Lover? Yeah. Her Instagram handle is Lover. Mm. She takes really amazing... She's a fetish nerd, like fetish photography nerd. And
nice.
And yeah, she's really good. And the film is not finished yet. It's still like post-production and so on. But whenever it comes out, nice. Oh my God, it's going to look really good. Yes. Mm. And definitely Bishop is one of my favorite people to work with. I think and the most like fun stuff that we have done together was this orgy for 4 Chambers, right?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, but definitely I love working with Bishop. 4 Chambers.
They're holding hands again.
Yeah. And 4 Chambers, they're like amazing people to work with. What they do looks great, and working with them, they always make you feel good. And so yeah, I have like a trophy portrait too. That's also one of my favorite films that I have done so far. And thank you, love. And yeah, and what else? There's also been like some like DIY stuff that Neurosex 3. I really loved doing that. It was really cute.
Yeah, I saw that.
And oh my god, I'm supposed to know like everything, to have everything at the top of my at the tip of my tongue, and now I am like kind of like I need to think more about what other films that I'm really happy about doing. But but yeah, maybe Bishop can continue if I remember them.
What was the question again?
favorite movies, moments, laughter.
I mean, like, definitely a lot of Four Chambers films that I've starred in. Like, Four Chambers is a pretty amazing, like, company to work with, and Vex is an amazing friend. For most part, like, you know, the films I've worked with them on have been really fantastic, and some of my favourite ones. I think like probably some of my favorite moments have actually veered between like more of the acting role within pornography than the actual pornography itself. So like that's sometimes where I've done some acting roles in the porn films, and that's been fucking fantastic. I just really found it hilarious. And then I just want to think like both of them, because I don't like there's something suddenly you're like, how many what films are amazing?
Yes.
Something like what is my discography? I mean,
and it's not supposed to be, because I mean we're like porn performers, and there's like a lot of work that you do because that's what it's gonna pay the rent.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to love it, you don't have to be like super proud of it. It's just what it is. And so yeah, I think that just like a side note, I think we all agree on this, but yes, like not you don't have to be we don't have to be proud of everything.
No, I mean like it's good to like have the ability to like, you know, be proud of some things for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of things that are just, like... I'm just thinking about the things now that I just didn't like. Like, there were definitely a few films with, like, you know, with ELF that was, like, not the best. I think also... there's also that film that we did that time ago, which was... part of this like really crazy like experiment reality TV show bullshit thing that was like really freaking not great. And the person who was like doing it was just giving us a whole speech about how they didn't like porn, so it was kind of like, okay, well,
here we are with you.
I feel very safe and secure and comfortable now.
Thanks for sharing.
Sharing is caring and everything. But I mean, like, there's been some, like, there's definitely been, like, Set School has been really, like, great, I would say. Like, I think that's a really amazing, like, project again, and, like, it's been such a, there have been some really fun moments with that as well. And I think that also translates to within, like, you know, when people see it, and, like, who gets along with who, who's a little bit bitchy to who, and all that other stuff. But,
I mean, we had, for example, like, this film that came out, Kitchen Talk, that it's, like, not pornographic as such, but it's also like this format of that was like very special. It was like a very emotional moment.
Yeah,
it was
definitely.
Like,
yeah,
super beautiful. And I think, yeah, and that was like, there's a film about it, so that's also good. I think Poppy Sanchez, I was just like going, I was like, oh my god, yeah, Poppy
has been like, yeah,
she is lovely, amazing.
Moist was amazing actually, because I got to like in Moist I work with Polita Papalm, and that was like an amazing shoot. Oh, Dante is also in it as well, as the voyeur. But that was a really great film, and I mean, that's something I'm definitely proud of. Most embarrassing situation definitely though is trying to have sex on a bunch of green corn.
Kale?
There's this film by Shuli Chan called Fluido that I starred in. And one of the scenes is like an old sort of a variant on American Beauty in some way. Somewhere, you know, with the roses and like, you know, the guy's like crawling on this bunch of roses to like, you know,
yeah,
sex with this high school girl.
Yeah.
This was not in the same vein as the high school girl thing, but like in the same vein with like, you know, the roses. Basically, the roses, they were red. There was basically green coal, so like green cabbage on the ground, and you had to have sex on the green cabbage.
How was the smell?
Ron Hayes were like, you know, like on the green coal.
Oh my god.
Trying
goodness.
To have like the sex scene. And it was really kind of like strange anyway to have you having sex on green coal. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I've done crazier things before, you know, I've just come out of a fucking ditch covered in mud, so you know, I can also do this.
Yeah.
And then what made it even more like, you know, hilarious is that whilst I'm trying to like, you know, get into the moment to like have sex with my co-actor on this bed of broom coal, the director is coming from behind and like trying to throw in bunches of broom coal on top of us as well. So like, and this broom coal is cold, by the way. It's not like some like nicely warmed room temperature broom coal without, and it's also wet.
Oh, jeez.
So it's slightly wet and it's slightly cold, and like, you know, the director's like trying to chuck on this broom coat onto the body whilst we're trying to like have sex, and I'm like, yeah, no, this is no.
This is gonna be a good memory, but it doesn't feel good. Do you wanna know what my favorite works of yours is?
Oh.
Okay.
I'm prepared. So your most favorite, I'm bad with titles, I'm sorry, but I think I told you before, is the one as Otto Fort Chamber. Yes. Oh my god. Beautiful. Loved it. That's probably one of my most favorite of all times. That's, and I'm a nerd. I like, that's amazing.
It's a beautiful film.
And yours, I think, is the one with Max Disgrace in the cemetery.
All right. Yes. Tribute.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's... Those two are my favorites.
No. I was saying actually portraits before, because like that was we watched it in Zurich, and well, like I saw it in Zurich, and like, obviously I was there on the day when you were filming it and stuff, and like I was also just like downstairs being like, okay, well, I'm just going to like play with my computer and do nothing because there's nothing for me to do. But then seeing the end material was like fucking incredible, and I just sat there just being like, with like mouth ajar, just looking to the screen being like, what is this like strange, hypnotic, and also like powerful, and also like, you know, immersive experience. And then you came to talk afterwards, and I was still just completely like blown away by that. And then you talking at the end of it all, and like, you know, having this such an amazingly concise and very detailed answers, like what I really like, super amazing. I just sat there being like, that's my friend.
That's my friend and I love her. we were watching films, because there was also like Loaming was watching, we were just, like holding hands next to each other like, oh my god, I'm so proud of you.
Pretty much. We're like,
oh. yes. That, it was
disgusting.
Like that. No, it was really cute, really like really emotional. And I mean, that festival was really fun.
It was so much.
It was
fun.
Really fun. We were invited to Porny Days in Zurich, and yeah, it was like.
And we showed them how we can party in Berlin, basically.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my.
Files and ale. Yes.
Like Dolly Parton and Patti LaBelle.
What's next?
Two more. We're almost done.
Okay.
One is, what do you wish people would stop asking you in interviews?
How did you got into porn? I think that question, I have answered it a zillion times. And I understand what people might be curious, because like, you just don't wake up one day saying, I want to be a porn star. You don't tell your mom you want to be like a firefighter, or like that you want to be a teacher or a doctor, but you don't tell your mom that you want to be a porn star, right? So people, I don't know, like I think that people have a really hard time imagining how can anyone get into porn. And I think I just have said the same thing so many times over and over again, that it's not like, it's like, okay, here we go again to tell you how things happen. And I think that also, I mean, like in my case, it was like something like really simple. So I don't think that I have like that much of like this big story. And I think that it will be like far more interesting that people asked about what advice would you give to people who got into porn?
That's my last question.
Bravissimo, because yeah.
Or like, what do your family think about it?
I always find that difficult though when it comes to like asking like what advice would you give to, because then it always I'm a bit on that sort of like, you know, side with that question, because like people come into your inboxes and like, you know, social media, it's like, hey, I want to get, it's me typing, hey, I want to get into like pornography, how can I get into pornography, will you kind of get me involved with
don't get into porn,
or will you help me get in touch with like this person. Somebody was like, can you get me in touch with Stoyo or something, and I'm like, No, I cannot. But it's just like these sort of questions of like, how I wanna get into pornography, how do I do it? And I'm like, It just gets a bit like, I know, like, you know, it's good that people are trying to ask, but I think sometimes what they ask is in a way that's not really like, you know, I'm just probably not the best person to ask for that sort of thing, I think. Yeah. So, but if I was gonna say it, I would say do your homework.
Yeah.
And also like stuff, and like you already have like an amazing, like, you know, sites that you can basically like work from and then build yourself up in that sort of range. Because like everything, as we said before, the industry is like, you know, very precarious in the moment.
Mm.
And entrepreneurship is the way forward, unfortunately, for a lot of people. Fortunately for a lot of people, because there's more agency in that. But unfortunately for a lot of people who want to go into studio work, that's not, it doesn't probably work out. And obviously, like, you know, I don't know how, I think studio work will always continue, but like, you know, so I think it also depends on like, you know, how much of an effort you need to be in the whole studio thing, especially when you're coming from like a European sort of perspective as well, because like we're not the States, and the States has a different like thing entirely, which is like,
wait, are we doing the last question now?
I'm also helping
okay.
the last question.
Okay, good. Because my question was a little bit more, it's not necessarily that. It's a little bit more to that.
Oh.
No, but continue. There's too much fire here.
Let's delete this.
Nine. Why? Of course, obviously not. No. I like what you say. No, because what I was thinking actually is, so, for example, now I'm getting touched 2 hours later. So
you were trying to be professional.
Whatever.
You know?
Lena's in the middle. What can I do?
Okay, sorry. I'm just like gonna...
No. So anyway, my question is not only what advice would you give. I think I'm thinking I can imagine that you know, because you're very visible, that people write you, all kinds of people, like white people, weird people, whatever. It's like the same. But I was thinking specifically, because for example, me, I have always been interested in porn from like a viewer's perspective. And I always thought I would love to have sex in front of a camera. But then I thought, who would want to watch my body? That was the first thing that came to my mind. And I think I'm specifically thinking about like queer BIPOCs. If there's like, also when we were talking about ethical and unethical porn productions, companies, I'm wondering like, for example, you said you have a lot of experience by now, and you also, for you to talk about things that are harmful is maybe not easier, but probably you know what to do, what to say, what not to do and what not to say. But I'm wondering if like a young person who is 20 years old or I don't know, is in a small town and wants to do porn, like what kind of advice would you give them in terms of what do you think, because when you started you didn't know everything that you know now. What do you wish you could have known when you were younger, when you thought about doing this? So, like, just one or two things that you would say, hey, if you want to do this, if you want to be in this world, it's important, A, B, C.
Well, it's basically everything, because you end up, like, not knowing anything, just, like, you kind of have, like, this gut feeling, or that you kind of, like, have, like, this thing of, like, oh, yeah, I could do it, I want to do it, and so on. But the truth is that you jump into it and you don't know shit about it, and that the information is very much lacking. So I think that in so many ways, is going back into the question, I will say, whenever people tell me, well, what advice do you have to get into it? It's like, think about it, not once, twice, three times. Think about it a zillion times. Because whatever it is that you do, it's going to be like, stay there forever.
Yeah.
And I think and you never know, like, in what ways that can affect you. And it's, or in what ways you can even change. You were talking about like someone who's like in their early 20s, like they're, I mean, you're a baby, you know, and so many things can happen and can change for you in your life, like what career paths it's gonna happen, like what, how are you gonna feel about your body?
It's like a tattoo.
Yes. I mean, it's worse because like you have like all the stigma, then you don't know what's gonna happen to your image, you know. You don't know what kind of like doors you could be closing yourself, you know. You don't know like how could people like weaponize that against you, who could be like your family, your partner, and so on. So I wish there was like more information at hand about like what is at stake with doing porn. I wish there was like more information about, with details about like how difficult this can be, how this is not for everyone, how longevity, it's something that you really, really, really have to work like super hard for, and how the industry works, where the pitfalls of like, in when it comes like to ethics, when it comes to risks, when it comes like to safety and so on, those things you don't know. And like working standards, there's like no information about what is acceptable when it comes to work or not, you know. Even health, like sexual health and stuff. So yeah, there's a lot at stake. And I think that if you don't think about it like a zillion times, then you are at risk. And then after that, it's like what Bishop said, like inform yourself. That is detective work, because there's no like source out there that can encompass everything, and
I think what you said about like trusting your gut is also something that's important as well. I think also like, well, as opposed to like, you know, yeah, you should definitely think about like this like, you know, a zillion or a trillion times, because obviously like, you know, if you're like going into it from like a, I would like to try this once is basically like, you know, enough. But if you, enough for you to kind of like, you know, be seen, enough for you to be kind of like, you know, be like, someone's gonna find you. I mean, that happened to me as well the first time I did it. Like someone found me and someone had me on their desktop from the computer. And there was a friend of my, and there was a friend of a friend basically who I went to see. And they were like, oh, yeah, you're on this computer. And I'm like, oh, okay. Also, one of the things that really helped me is that, like, I remember when I first, like, you started doing porn and stuff, I told myself if anybody was going to say, like, I saw you somewhere, I would be like, okay, where did you see me? How am I going to see it? Was it good? Like, basically just removing the power from, like, people, like, you know, asking, like, saying stuff like, you know, or giving you the fear that like they've seen you, because I didn't want to like, you know, give them that satisfaction to be like, I saw you in the porn. You're like, oh my god, really? It's more like, I saw you in the porn. I'm like, oh cool, where? You got to remove that power basically from like from them and think that like, you know, that they will make you think that it's a bad thing. And obviously like, this doesn't work in every certain circumstance. For example, like, you know, certain family members, it could be a lot more detrimental, and I understand that. And in that situation, then this is also where you have to think about, like, you know, if this is something that you can really fully imagine yourself into. I remember this is just something that worked for me at the time, because I didn't want to be like, I just didn't want to be like, you know, meeting a friend and being like, I saw you in that pub. And this happened as well. Like, I was drinking the G&T in Roses one day, and like some person was like, I saw you, you're a friend of my ex. But I also saw you in a pub. And I'm like, I just want to drink my G&T, man. This thing is fucking
What the fuck?
So this is one of the things I already told myself at the beginning. Like, you know, I gave myself, like, you know, this oath. Secondly, I think if you should decide to have a career in porn, then you also have to understand like, or figure out what is it that you want to be seen in. So what do you want to do? Do you want to be a person who like gets into porn because porn is great and you want to make money? or do you want to, like, you know, be into porn because, like, you want to show, like, yourself in a way that's, like, you can express yourself in a really cool way, and then, like, okay, how do you kind of maintain that integrity throughout your work without actually, you know, falling into a routine that kind of, like, you know, destroys you? Like, how can you keep your integrity up to the point where, like, you're able to ask what you want because this is what you feel you want? And also, you can actually still be in something that you actually really enjoy.
Yeah.
It's never going to be, like, straightforward, basically. Like, this is never going to be a straightforward issue. It's always going to be, like, hey, this is not great, or this is difficult, or, like, you know, I thought it would be like this, and it turned out to be like this. And, I mean, that's also happened as well. Like, you know, like, I've worked with companies where I'm like, oh, my God, it's going to be like this. And then, like, you know, something happens, and you're like, oof. And I wish I trusted my gut then to be like, okay, well, this was cool, and it bounced. And I think this is also another thing. If you have, like, the simplest, shortest, fleetingest glimpse of, like, something that doesn't feel right for that one minute, you have to look into that. See if it's, like, something, take a break, go away, question whether or not it's actually something you want to be involved in. Is it worth you kind of carrying on with? And then you have to, like, bounce. There's always these different, like, you know, factors as to, like, you know, what makes it work for you. And how, if you decide to take an action, can you be accountable for that action for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's just, like, the last thing. One of the most fundamental questions, or, like, the most fundamental things that you have to also face is, I mean, like, if we're talking about pornography, you're talking also about sex work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is not, like, the fun project, the fun experiment because you like to take naked selfies and whatever. It's like if you don't see it as work first and foremost, then you can be, I mean, you put yourself at, like, many potential risks.
Mm.
If you don't see, okay, like, this is first and foremost work, then you forget about, oh, like, contracts, about, like, payments, about who you work with, about, like, researching properly and so on, about many things, and also about, like, all the downsides of doing this, because, yeah, it's sex work, maybe. So.
Mm.
I think that's the perfect point to stop, because I think that's basically summing up everything that is important about that.
Yeah.
It's true. It's totally true.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this. This is probably the longest interview I've ever done in my life. I knew it was a good idea to invite you both. Thank you so much to Bishop Black and Lena Bembe.
Thank you too.
Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Done.
It's been fun.